Ann and I were married April 25th, 1965 in Dunn, and we will be celebrating our 52nd wedding anniversary, and we're going to be taking a few days to go up and celebrate that. We are quite proud of that because in this day and time, 2 years is kind of the norm. Not that many people get into the 50s anymore. But we have, and we're thankful. For more than 16 years, Bill O'Reilly was the number one talk program on cable news. Recently, O'Reilly was pushed out by liberal forces like MoveOn.org and Media Matters, both with the help of financial backing from socialist George Soros. There have been complaints by several women that O'Reilly had said things to them that were sexist. These women were rounded up by the leftist organizations I just mentioned, with the help of the liberal feminist lawyer Gloria Allred and her equally liberal daughter Lisa Bloom. If the Allred name sounds familiar to you, it's because this devious woman has been behind other groups of women in like campaigns. It was Allred who led the women accusing Donald Trump of offensive remarks, and her face has been on the TV cameras more than a test pattern in the 50s, leading to this kind of parade. Political correctness is at the heart of these politically motivated attacks. Now, I will not downplay the importance of women speaking up who have been truly harassed. But when they wait years to speak up, and then they do so only after being goaded into it by politically motivated liberal groups, it's time to question their true motivation. Now let's look at what's being alleged against O'Reilly. Nobody has alleged that O'Reilly manhandled them or raped them. The worst accusations are that he said some things that the accuser felt were sexist, mostly on the telephone. And that ranges from inviting a woman up to his room in a hotel bar to telling a woman she was attractive. Whatever happened to simply saying no in no uncertain tone or to simply accepting a compliment for what it is? If the person then pushes it further, get up and leave. If they place their hands on you, report them to the police. Now, it's one thing if there was a woman or two women who failed to file a claim against O'Reilly at the time. But doesn't it raise your suspicions when a group shows up suddenly behind a feminist lawyer with a history of unproven claims in these situations? In order to bring O'Reilly down, it took liberal organizations to unite in threats to Fox advertisers. That's the oldest trick in the books. Advertisers are skittish, especially in present times, because in addition to a liberal mainstream media that is all too willing to publicize these attacks, social media offers an opportunity for unnamed sources to make any claim true or false. Now, as I said, nobody is claiming that O'Reilly put his hands on them. Where were all of these outcries from liberal America when Bill Clinton was being accused by dozens of women? He was already in office, so this wasn't the political thing, except that obviously it wouldn't do him any good when it came out. But Bill Clinton was accused of physical abuse. He was accused of rape by Juanita Broderick and putting his hands on others. And yet, no liberal outcry. In fact, the liberal Democrats in the Congress gathered around TV cameras to defend the man when he was impeached. How about Ted Kennedy, called the Lion of the Senate? That's L-I-O-N. The Lion of the Senate. And Chris Dodd of Connecticut. These two were well-known carousers in Washington. And in fact, the two of them used to get a waitress and slip her between them and yell sandwich. Now, where was liberal America when that was going on? Bill O'Reilly is human and is subject to that. He makes mistakes, as any of us do, but the work he has done over the years to raise money for charity and his superhuman efforts to help our wounded veterans should not go unmentioned. The liberal attackers have no interest in the man's good works. They hate him for his opinions that are so different from their own, and bringing him down was far more important to them than those he has helped along the way. But don't mourn for Bill O'Reilly. The man has a net worth of more than $100 million. It's hard to think what his net worth would be if he had not given so much of his time and efforts to charity. A lot of the things that Bill O'Reilly has sold, including his books, go to charity. And O'Reilly's future, by the way, is not tied to Fox News. Bill O'Reilly will reemerge on radio and on another cable station, possibly one he owns himself. His listeners will follow him, and that will hurt Fox News. Rupert Murdoch owns Fox News, but Rupert is getting old now, and his two sons have emerged as future leaders of the network. They are both leftists, and that's what caused Fox to buy out O'Reilly's contract. Now, I'm not excusing anybody who demeans women, but I do take exception to the political correctness of today, where even the most inoffensive remark can trigger someone's ire. Those same people, almost without exceptions, have skeletons in their own closets, things they have said in bars or in restaurants or wherever it might be. The women who Gloria Allred led against Donald Trump appeared en masse and all over the liberal media. But after the election, what have you heard from those women? They're back in the woodwork from where they came and where they were coached out by liberal hate organizations backed by socialist George Soros. I predict that now that Fox and O'Reilly have parted ways, you'll hear little or nothing from these women. Allred will put her fees into the bank, and Soros flunkies like MoveOn.org and Media Matters will move on to their next campaign to destroy conservatives and undermine the Trump presidency. My concern here is not for Bill O'Reilly. It is for the future of America under fire from liberal attack dogs. That peaceful religion, Islam, showed us another convert last week in Fresno, California. This black convert shot and killed three white men at random, people he did not even know. His reason? They were white. He said that he hates white people. California, being the sanctuary state that it is, hesitated to call this a hate crime. It was a hate crime, and they did so only after pressure from the national community. Now here, here are three dead white family men who this shooter had no reason to hate. Still, not a peep of condemnation from Black Lives Matter, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Louis Farrakhan, or other race pimps in our society. When a white man in South Carolina killed eight members of a black church in Charleston, there was national condemnation. There was an outcry from Black Lives Matter, from Sharpton, Jackson, and the liberal media, as well as should have been. I condemned that hate-filled white killer in my commentaries more than once. But when something like the racial hate killings in Fresno happen, these critics go quiet. No black life matters more than the life of another human being, regardless of the color of their skin. There should be the same outrage and condemnation universally, without regard to color. The content of character that Martin Luther King Jr. spoke of was spilled on the sidewalks of Fresno, California, mixed with blood of innocent people. The lack of character in the black man who slaughtered these three men is matched only by his arrogance. Arraigned in court today, he mouthed off again about all the bad things that are going to happen to white people. The truth is that a propaganda campaign has been waged in America for decades to turn our people against one another. It is impossible for me to hate black people. What an asinine thing to say or think. I don't know all black people, just as this racist killer did not know all white people. I have blacks and whites that I don't particularly like all that much, but I refuse to hate. In the Fresno case, though, I will make an exception. ISIS has struck again in France. A gunman in Paris killed two policemen yesterday. They found his allegiance papers to ISIS in his pockets, and that group of Islamic terrorists have voiced responsibility for the killings. This is the result of Europe lowering its standards and accepting Muslims who professed to be peaceful. Most of them are, but among them came ISIS agents, just like they have come here into America in groups of refugees. The Obama administration set us up for future attacks from Islamic terror groups by feeding their main source of support, Iran. It was Obama, under the influence of his Iranian Muslim advisor, Valerie Jarrett, who took an Iran that was on its knees financially and breathed new life into it with an infusion of billions of dollars in untraceable cash. This was the greatest betrayal of America since Benedict Arnold in the Revolutionary War. We see now the dark world that Barack Hussein Obama brought us down to in countries like Iran, North Korea, and Syria, among others. Due to Obama's cowardice, these countries came to believe that America could be pushed around at will and took advantage of. This is what this political buffoon brought to us. Way before Barack Obama was elected, so that liberals could celebrate having a person of color in the presidency, even though that person was a panty waist with no record of achievement, no record at all, because he spent, or others spent for him, millions of dollars to hide his records, to keep you from knowing the real Barack Obama. Anyway, even before him, North Korean leaders had been bringing our countries to the brink of war, only to call for talks in which North Korea promised to end its reign of terror and development of nuclear weapons in return for massive amounts of food, medical supplies, and in some cases, cash. Once they received the ransom they demanded, they went right back to belligerence. For 8 years under Obama, they were allowed to test missiles that they intend to one day launch into the United States with nuclear warheads. The current North Korean leader is Kim Jong-un, the young and unstable son of the despot that ruled North Korea before him. And that presents a clear and present danger to America and to the world. When Donald Trump announced that the United States would no longer pay ransom to Jong-un, and that we, nor the world, could tolerate North Korea building missiles designed for our destruction, liberal America went ballistic itself. The undermining of the Trump presidency gained even more steam. Unless you want to worry about a sudden and deliberate nuclear attack that destroys your family and has been promised by the North Korean leader, or an attack in years to come that slaughters your children or grandchildren, you must understand that Kim Jong-un must be stopped now, even with the possibility of war. Our greatest hope is China. Had China not come into the Korean War on the side of the North Koreans, there would be a unified Korea today. The poverty in the North would have been avoided by alignment with the prosperous South. But China wanted a foothold on the Korean Peninsula, and so they backed what is now North Korea. But China itself has grown tired of the juvenile North Korean leader and can clearly see that his bluster may trigger a war that could involve China and the United States and which could easily ignite World War III. President Trump has chosen to set aside his criticism on China's economic policies and its poor human rights record in favor of gaining Chinese support to stop North Korea's march toward nuclear weapons. So how did liberal career Democrats react to that? They attacked Trump for having said that China manipulates its currency and is backing away from confronting them now in office. Does it make any sense to anybody for Trump to actively seek to turn China against us further when we and the world desperately need Chinese sanctions against Kim Jong-un? This is another case where the best interest of the people of the United States falls victim to the selfish interests of a liberal Democratic Party. Would we not rather tolerate China manipulating its currency to save us from a nuclear war? Think of how ignorant and impulsive Kim Jong-un is. He has nobody around him to advise against threats and bluster. Any dissent is met with death. Any mistake that causes a loss of faith for this Korean madman meets with death. His people have shrunk more than 2 inches in height due to malnutrition. In the countryside, they're starving to death and literally eating grass in an attempt to stay alive. Think of how you would suffer if you saw your children dying from hunger while the country's leader lives a rich lifestyle and spends the money on his army and weaponry. Just like Saddam Hussein in Iraq threatened the mother of all wars and found himself defeated in a matter of weeks and hiding in a hole in the ground, Kim Jong-un makes the same blustery threats. It is possible that North Koreans may reach a point where they could hit an American city. Surely they can strike South Korea and Japan now, but that strike would mean the end of North Korea. This demented dictator may be disillusioned enough to actually defeat the United States in his mind, but that is like a pigeon threatening to attack a hawk. It ain't gonna happen, and if tried, will end in feathers, eyeballs, and feet all over the back deck. Lastly, now, it's past time for our government to withhold money to cities and states that insist upon sanctuary city designations. It is also past time to make an example of the University of Berkeley and their failure to defend the freedom of speech on its campus. Ultra-liberal students and outside agitators in Berkeley have actually rioted to prevent conservative speakers on campus. They're doing so today to prevent the conservative Ann Coulter from coming on campus at the invitation of the university. Now, the university itself has tried to withdraw that invitation in order to appease the socialists and communists on campus. Coulter has said that she intends to speak at Berkeley. The opposition has pledged to block her from speaking. What kind of parent supports a movement to deny free speech to those who have different opinions? I'll tell you. The same parents who were agitators at Berkeley themselves back in the 1960s. The denial of free speech is guaranteed by the First Amendment of our Constitution. It was that important to our founding fathers, who saw the danger of allowing only the words that one side agreed with. We must not allow this anarchy to continue. Withdraw the federal support the University of Berkeley receives and let them fall on their own sword. It's time to tell these snot-nosed snowflakes that they are in school to learn, not to teach.